This is Deborah Gordon and Roseanne. This is Deborah Gordon, Roseanne Ariel, and we are here on March 18th, taping for the National Council of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh section. We're here to interview Mr. Ezra Levine. Mr. Levine, could you please state your name and your date of birth for the tape recorders?
My name is Ezra Levine, and I was born September the 13th, 1899, in White Russia, Belorussia, they call it. And I came to the United States in 1913.
Okay, pause 1 minute. We're just going to... Okay, Mr. Levine, why don't we start... The way I like to start is just in the very beginning, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about your family, your parents, where you came from, when you were born, siblings.
Wait a minute. That take a half an hour.
That's okay.
Well, we've got an hour. If you have
yeah,
an hour.
Yeah, now, I thought you had questions that you want to put answers to.
That's what
now you give me an assignment to talk.
Right.
In general.
Right.
Well, not in general. But what do you want to know? My father? My mother?
Right.
Or my grandparents? Or how far do we go?
As far back as you'd like to go. As far back as you know, I think, would be of interest.
Okay. Let me see. I don't know where to start from. I can remember everything that happened in the world since 1904. That brings me back to about 86 years ago. So, well, I...
When were you born?
1899. I was born, I said so here, in a city called Mozyr.
Mozyr.
That was something like the size of Greensburg. It's a county seat. Mm-hmm. And... M-O-Z-Y-R or Z-I-R, either one. Mm-hmm. It's in White Russia, as they call it, and some call it Polessia.
I don't know.
White Russia. It's on the map, White mm-hmm. Russia. Mm-hmm. It's not Ukraine. It's between Pinsk and Kiev. And it's a town of at that time, for about 22,000 people, it had a match factory. It had an alcohol, what you call it, a vodka factory to make whiskey. A brewery. I still have to think of English. Brewery, and it had. Quite a Jewish, the city itself had quite a big Jewish population. It was in the ghetto, like, you know, where all the Jews concentrated. The name of the state was Minsk, Gubernia. And my father was an Orthodox Jew who wanted to bring up his children according to the Orthodox style, didn't believe in learning Russian, not even the language. They thought that it isn't even kosher for a Jew to speak a language like that, you see.
What did they speak?
Huh?
Yiddish.
But we spoke, there was a mixture of Polish and Ukrainian and Russian. And my mother was just the opposite. She was a business lady. She supported a family. She was a business lady. She was very moral. And there was always a dispute between them, between those two, about their children. And
what are you looking for?
I wanted to show you. what a difference there was between my mother and my father. Well, here's a picture of the family that was taken in 1910. I had 5 brothers and 2 sisters, and I was the 5th one.
Where are you in this picture? This is a picture we're looking at of Mr. Levine's family.
And I was a boy. They raised the life out of me that I looked like my grandmother. Here I am, and here's my grandmother, Pearl. And she died in 1910. And she was born in 1918. She was 92 years old at that time. And there is my mother's mother, and this is my father's mother. There is my father, and there is my mother.
Your mother looks very modern in comparison to all the women in that picture.
I wonder where they are.
She doesn't look like she's going for that
Bushka. Here she is in a different picture. Mm.
Yeah. You look like your mother from this picture.
No, I don't think
no,
I
don't.
Do. But
what were your parents'
Here
names?
Is my father in the United States without a beard, you see. The beard is gone when he came here.
Yeah.
Now this picture here, where am I here? Here I am, see?
Mm-hmm.
What a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Here I am.
These pictures are very interesting, but for the purpose of the tape recording session, they're not going to be helpful to the person who's listening.
No, but...
But I like seeing them.
Yeah, that's my father.
Go on.
That's my wife right here.
Mm-hmm.
She died 9 years ago, and that's my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And there is,
Why don't you tell us, what were your parents' names?
My father's name was
If you
Don,
would sit
Don.
Down, it would be
yeah.
easier for the tape recorder.
My father's name was D-O-N, Don. My
Don.
Father's name was Sarah.
Uh-huh.
And so we went to Cheder,
uh-huh.
to Hebrew school from 7 in the morning or something like that till about 7 in the evening, and which made us learn the Bible almost by heart,
mm-hmm.
and Hebrew. But we never learned geography or arithmetic or algebra.
Right.
It was all a Bible school.
So those skills were
but
just...
But after it was over, it's a compromise. My mother had a Russian teacher come in. And then they taught us Russian.
So you learned that in the evenings, or you were in the cheder
all
day?
Well, I think, I don't know whether, I can't recall whether it was once a week or after,
uh-huh.
after
you 20
were hours. It wasn't really a 12-hour Hebrew school, but it wasn't a school either. It used to be a room.
Mm-hmm.
They called it a cheder in the rabbi's house, like in the rabbi's over there. Didn't have the activities that the rabbis in the United States have. The
right.
activities were entirely different. Practically, just to answer questions, what is kosher and what's treif and what is, you know, and they sat and they learned. They didn't have much. And that is going back to 1905, 1908, or 1910. And so the children, I had, the oldest one was a sister.
What was her name?
Yeah, her name was Fanny.
Fanny?
Uh
huh.
She had polio, see, and that's why her picture is here. And when she came to the United States, they operated on her. Polio in Russia
mm-hmm.
as a child. And they operated on her. And when they operated, her face was twisted. And there was all kind of cuts on it. So she didn't want to stand for the picture. So we pasted in her picture here.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one was my brother Isaac, who became known all over the United States. He wrote about 20 books. And he called himself Isaac Dom Levine.
Right.
Because in Russia, they put in the middle name is always the father's name, you see.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
Isaac in Russian is Isaac. In Yiddish, in Hebrew, it's Yitzchak.
Uh-huh.
And
he was older than you.
I only have one of his books here, a little one.
What type of books did he write?
This one is called Red Smoke.
What's it called?
That's again, anti-communist.
Oh, The Red Smoke by Isaac Don Levine.
Well, he proved it was more than, he was wrong. 1932.
Uh-huh. Was
he wrote other books and made movies. Mitchell about the, he wrote a book, The Life Story of Lenin, The Life Story of Stalin. He wrote a book called Eyewitness to History.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say that, but I myself am just an eyewitness. I never participated in anything. I cannot go in with the Orthodox Jews. I cannot go in with the Reformed Jews. I just like to observe them, see them, take what I like, and forget the rest.
How long did he
but
live?
If, you know, if you talk to me, you'd have to come about four times.
Well, we
okay.
will.
Okay.
So your brother, your older brother, was a writer.
Yeah,
professional. Was he educated? Most of his education that prepared him to write in Russia or United States?
In Russia. And you see, I came here at the age of, well, before 12, 13. He came at the age of 19.
So he was already.
And in 19 in Russia, a person is already a mature person.
So, but he wrote in Hebrew. He didn't, originally, he didn't write in Hebrew. He wrote in Russian.
Well,
just relax.
His
we
mansion
can get
downstairs in the library, almost 10 different books where he scores.
You mentioned he was a screenwriter, or
no,
he made
movies?
No,
he was a correspondent for the Hearst Papers.
Uh-huh.
In the First World War.
Uh-huh.
In 1917, he was the first American correspondent to go to Russia. And there was big, the papers, the Hearst Papers used to have a Sunday papers had a section, March of Events, they called it. It's like they have a perspective in the press.
So he became an expert on reporting what was happening during the Russian Revolution. And he would come and send stories back to the Hearst newspapers and and write books on.
If you go into the library in Huizhou, you'll see everything you did. Okay, that's him.
That was Isaac.
Okay,
and who was
but
next?
Out of the whole bunch, here's the guy with an American tie and a collar.
Is he the next one?
He's the next one, Sam. You see, the Hebrew names is Isaac is Yitzhak, this one is Shmuel.
Right.
They're all Hebrew names. This one is Benjamin, this is Ezra, all from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
This is Mordechai, this is Leon. Leon Sibrahim, I don't know. So in 1910, we were all in Russia, this whole gang. He's the first one that left for Boston, say, in 1910. By himself. He was pretty young at that time.
Did you have relatives in Boston?
Must have had somebody, because otherwise he wouldn't have gone, no relatives and friends. And he was a carpenter by trade, you see, over there in the car. And then when he came here, he worked himself up and became a builder, built homes in Long Island. And all that. So that's him. Then when he came, he was the first one, 1910. In 1911, Isaac came, you see. And in 1912, my brother Benjamin came.
Mm-hmm.
In 1913, I came.
And each of you came
each
by yourself?
Each one came. No, I came with my father already. He woke me up one morning and he told me, he asked me if I want to go to America. And I didn't want to go to school. I never liked school.
Uh-huh.
So I said, sure.
I'll go anywhere, right?
I got in the wagon. The nearest train was 10 miles away.
Uh-huh.
And we had to ride all night long over, you know, mud roads, I guess,
uh-huh,
in the peasant. And the story for the whole thing is that if any boy didn't show up for military service when the Tsar was there, they used to punish the parents.
Uh-huh.
And they used to fine them so much money.
Right.
My father and mother had a grocery store.
Uh-huh.
So when he didn't show up in 1910 for the army, And then this one didn't show up, and then the third one didn't show up. They came and they took away, like, the Internal Revenue here. They closed up the store and everything else. So what did my father do? He knew somebody, the children, of course, but there was somebody we knew too. And he decided to come and left in 1913, left my mother there. My mother and my sister, he left, and these three.
The younger three.
Yeah, the last three, Max, Leon, and Bessie. She lives in Brighton Beach now. And this one died, and this one is in Boston.
So you came with your father in 1913.
I came with my father, but we couldn't get a passage. We were not allowed to get a passport to get out on account of the other children.
Oh, having left.
They smuggled us out, and we had to walk across the border.
Where did
so you... there used to be, what do they call it? There used to be a, well, it was a terrible thing. But there used to be, what do they call it? People that smuggled hundreds, maybe thousands of Jews out of Russia.
Like resistance fighters.
That was their business.
No, not resistance. Smugglers.
Smugglers.
They were the smugglers.
Okay.
Smugglers out across the border. They took us to Poland. From Poland, we went to Germany. And from Germany, we were free. So when we left, we didn't know we were going to meet so many other people near the border. We left for Warsaw, and from Warsaw they took us by wagon or something for 2 days and two nights.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy on the way went crazy, and another one was drinking quarts of vodka.
Mm-hmm.
The Jewish man too. But when we came to the border, it was during the night, and we all, a whole bunch of us, maybe 100 or 300 people.
Mm-hmm.
The German soldiers stuck up their guns and started shooting in the air. And I thought they were going to kill us. What did they want? They just wanted a ruble from each one.
Right.
Half a ruble.
Just whatever they could get.
All they could get, and then they let us go. That was a very scary thing, but that isn't the first time in my life that I was scared. In 1905, they had a revolution, and they were shooting through our windows. Oh, that's a different thing. I can't.
Did they ever have pogroms when you were?
Yes, I had my mother hid me in a Russian home in a closet, and I think that I can almost still hear, because we lived in the business section, and when the rumor came that there's pogrom, the Cossacks are coming, and it seemed to me like I heard everybody locking their stores.
Mm-hmm.
I think the noise of, maybe it's imaginary. I'm a very sensitive person. But it seems like I heard them all the stores, the locks were closed, much enough.
Mm-hmm.
But they hid me and the thing passed over and everything was all right. But it's, you know, that's skipping things. I don't like to skip, but if I go into details, you're going to put down 80 years.
We'll come back.
Yeah, you couldn't do
we're
that.
We're coming back many
but
times.
But there's a man here that he can't speak English. He lives next door behind this wall. If you would hear his stories about the Hitler and the Germans and the others, you would find him much more interesting than what I'm talking about.
Oh, well, let's talk about you now.
Okay,
about you.
Okay, now we were talking about the family, you see.
Right.
So what happened?
See, you were telling me when everyone came.
Yeah. Well, okay, then they, in the beginning of 1914, my mother came. And she left my oldest sister there yet.
Uh-huh.
She came with the
three kids,
that's right. She came with the three children. They all came to Boston.
Uh-huh.
My oldest brother, my younger brother, Sam and Isaac. We all came to Boston. I think we had a lot of people from Landslide, from our town living
mm-hmm.
in Boston,
mm-hmm.
the Pollocks and the Pilevins and all the others. So we felt at home in Boston, in the West End. Were you ever in Boston?
Yes.
You know where?
She lived.
I used to live in Boston.
Where about?
In Brookline.
In Brookline.
Mm-hmm.
Did you eat in Harvard Street in the Jewish restaurant?
Sure. I lived right near there. Where did you live in Boston?
I lived in the West End,
mm-hmm.
right near the Charles River.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go on the Charles River to rowboat. In those days, the Charles River was twice as wide than it is now. Now it's clamped in. They've made it. You haven't been there for a long time.
In a few years, yeah.
Yeah, well, I lived there from 1913 to 1921.
Mm-hmm.
But I traveled for quite a while between them. And where are we at now? All of a sudden,
you all came
Boston.
Over.
I know every street and corner in Boston. I lived in Roxbury, I lived in Dorchester, in
mm-hmm.
Franklin Park.
Mm-hmm. Your family moved around? You always lived with your family?
Well, maybe family, yeah, that's right. My mother and father, yeah.
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 And what did you do when you came to Boston?
Well, I got off the boat and they didn't want to let me in because I was underage and I had a hernia.
Mm-hmm.
And so in East Boston, where the port is, in East Boston. So they wouldn't let me in, they detained me.
Uh-huh.
And they thought it was going to be a public charge. I think, why did my father get out? He did get out. So I was locked up for 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And during the 2 weeks, my brother, he was a politician, this one here, Isaac. He got a hold of Louis Brandeis.
Mm-hmm.
He was a congressman at that time.
Uh-huh.
And he got a hold of Mayor Curley, the mayor who was landed in jail, by the way, in time. And then he got a hold of Louis F. Post. He was the immigration commissioner. And they got me out. They put up a bond. Somebody put up a bond for me.
Mm-hmm.
And they let me out. And that was July the 3rd. July the 4th, they took me to Revere Beach, you know where that
mm-hmm.
is, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the fireworks on July 4th, I was watching them from Boston come on Cumberland Avenue,
right.
Beacon Street.
Right.
She knows what I'm talking about, you know, the State House.
Oh, I sure do, sure I do.
Tremont Street, watching
mm-hmm.
Wollaston Street.
You still go down there.
Huntington Avenue.
Right.
Did you go to school there?
No, I worked there.
Did you?
Yeah.
I lived in Brookline. Well, Brookline in my day was not Jewish, but since then it became
right.
Newton and West Newton and all
right.
that place.
Right.
Walton. I know everything. So what else you want to know?
Well, so you moved there.
Well,
and
we're talking about now. We're talking about 10 different things at the same time.
No.
Anyhow,
we're still with
you. All right, let's stick to me, okay?
All right, let's stick to you.
Okay.
You're in Boston.
Forget my life in the old country, although I remember too many things that...
No, we're going to go back to that.
Yeah,
but right
okay.
now, let's go with
all
you.
All right, here I am in Boston.
Here you are in Boston. It's July
and
4th.
They
and,
take me to Revere, and they
yeah.
buy me a hot dog with all the improvements on
mm-hmm.
the hot dog, with mustard and everything else.
Uh-huh.
And they gave it to me, and I tasted it,
oh,
and it almost turned off my stomach.
Because that wasn't
would you
kosher.
Believe it? Huh?
That wasn't kosher.
No, that didn't bother me. Ever since then, I never eat a hot dog. To this day, if they have it on the menu, I don't eat it.
Uh-huh.
Kosher or tripe, I don't care. I'm not that religious.
Well, how was your family when you came? When you came
so,
here,
all right,
were
so
you?
I didn't have the hot dogs. Then
yeah.
they put me on the roller coaster.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I didn't expect it. I came from a town where they didn't have those things. The highest building was 2 stories,
right.
And I came into Boston, the West End in those days, where the North Station is,
uh-huh.
Staniford Street and Chambers Street
yeah.
and Cambridge Street. The West End in Boston was tenement houses.
Mm-hmm.
There are no 2-story buildings like you see here, you
right.
see. So that roller coaster did something to me too.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went out and my wonder if my father came after me or came with me. I'm not positive. Anyhow, my brother, this man here, who became so famous, you see, he was broke. He didn't have 3 cents to pay fine for a book in the library that he kept. He said to me, go out and sell papers. I was green, you know what I mean, absolutely nothing. I went out to sell papers. And the papers was 1 cent and 2 cents a copy. Mm-hmm. There was one paper, the Boston Transcript, I don't know if it's a business. It's like the Wall Street Journal sold for a nickel. Mm-hmm. But you could only buy one or two of them customers. Mm-hmm. I went out to sell papers, and that was my career up to now.
What,
newspapers. Yeah, it remained with the newspaper.
So you were basically like 14 then?
Huh?
You were 14 years old or what?
I was 13.
13.
13.
How was it coming here to a new land? What was it like? Was it exciting? Was it frightening?
Well, I was a boy. They put me, I came in July and, September? We went to school.
Oh, you did go to school?
My public school. Uh-huh. And the public school had a special section near the State House.
Uh-huh.
On Joyce Street, was it? I don't remember. And the public school had a special section for immigrants.
Uh-huh.
And the teacher put on the board, would, could, and should. And she picks on me, I should read it, and I read it, would, could, should. She said, smart boy. You know, I thought smart was a smarty, smart. I even hope.
And did you all live together? Did you live with your brother? Did you live with your father?
Just my brothers. Two brothers or three, and then the North Anderson Street.
And what did your father do?
My father became, in Boston, he became a paper hanger.
Mm-hmm.
Paper hanging was, so I sold papers, and somebody asked me, it was in July, the Red Sox and the White Sox, you know, and they asked me, what's the score? I didn't know what the word score meant. So I said, 7 o'clock. I think it went, 4 o'clock. I thought he asked me what time it is. And so, but we, you know, picked up a language pretty good in school. We were all young. I was pretty young at that time. And
how did your mother cope when she came here the following year? She must have been very
She was the support of the whole family all her life. My father was a bookworm. His place was like sitting and learning Torah.
Uh-huh. What did your mother do then?
Although he was a Zionist, and he took me to the Zionist meetings, and we sang a tikkun over there.
Uh-huh.
And he became, he was not a Zionist, he was what they called a territorialist. They wanted to make a territory for the Jews in Galveston, Texas, of all places.
I heard of that.
Galveston, Texas. They wanted to make a Jewish country and a state there. There's a whole lot about that, more than what you heard. Even up to date. There's history in Galveston about that. So he was active and he was running to meetings and one day Chaim Weizmann, the first president of Israel, came to the grocery store and customers were standing and waiting and he's talking to Chaim Weizmann. Weizmann, at that time they didn't have a Jewish country yet, it was just a movement. And my mother chased him out, the Weizmann.
She chased him out?
Because my father didn't attend to the business in the store.
So she ran the grocery store?
She ran it.
That sounds like...
She did the buying, she did the selling.
Oh, so when she came here, she started
She bought a grocery here too, in New York.
Like you had in Russia?
Yeah, sure.
I see.
Had to make a living somehow.
So she bought one in Boston?
We moved from Boston to New York.
When she came?
I ran away from home from Boston. And I left a note with my picture in the mailbox, very dramatic.
Uh-huh. Where'd you go?
I took a boat. I used to go by boat from Boston to New York. They used to be three lines, the Joy Line, the Colonial Line, another line, and the fare was $2.50. Uh-huh. And you had a room, I had to stay in a stateroom. Uh-huh. And I took seasick on that boat. But when I got off the boat in the morning, I picked up a newspaper and I took a look on the Boy Wanted. Millis Weekly, it said, 151, I remember the number, Canal Street. So right from the Boston, I went to Canal Street, and it got to be about 9, 10 o'clock, and 151 Canal Street, next door to the Jewish Morning Journal. And I come up there, and it was a Jewish weekly newspaper, you see, called Miller's Weekly. This man, Miller, was an editor of a daily paper before that folded up. They were right. And I told him I had my suitcase with me, just like you see in the movies. Hmm. Why did I run away from home? Because all my life I suffered from a hernia. And the hernia was, you don't mind if I show you, mm-hmm. coming from here right into the bag, more or less. Mm-hmm. And it used to cause me terrific pains and everything else. And I wanted to go to a hospital. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't want to do it with Boston, my mother, and everybody. So I came to New York, and this man, Miller, Louis Miller, his wife was a doctor, and he was an editor, and all that. They took a look at me, the bag. And he says, all right, you got a job. I put my suitcase down. Later on, I went out and I got a room. I have to tell you, in those days, you know, you could eat a full course meal for 12, 15 cents and all that. Everything was so cheap, you know. I don't remember what I got from them, but from him. But he took me over in the rear, and there was a linotype machine, and I had to take the linotype that was used 1 week and melt it and into cakes. Do you ever see the lead cakes? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You never did. They don't use linotype machines nowadays, I don't think. And I used to sit in the